Here's the promise. If you apply everything I talk about in the book, I can guarantee that you can be and stay in a healthy relationship that thrives.
Hey, hey, welcome to the WTF Divorce Podcast. My name is Rob Roseman. On this show, we talk about everything divorce, whether you're thinking about divorce, going through it, or figuring out life after. Divorce, co-parenting, dating. We cover it all and break it into short clips so it's easy for you to find and learn from. If you want more help, head on over to WTFdivorce.com. Thanks for listening. On to today's show. Real quick, let's talk about today's sponsor. The WTF Divorce Podcast is sponsored by Our Family Wizard. If you're a co-parent, you know how frustrating it can be constantly going back and forth with your ex about the kids, schedule, and expenses. Our Family Wizard helps keep everything organized in one app, making co-parenting communication less stressful. More about how Our Family Wizard can help in a few minutes, but now on to today's show. There she is. Hi, Chantal.
Hi, I'm so excited. This is awesome that we finally connect.
Yes. See if I can get in screen here. I'm not used to these kind of weird setups. If you saw behind the scenes what was going on, you would laugh.
It's okay. It makes for a good story always.
Yes, exactly. We keep it real here. This is raw, unedited, dating talk. Let's get
It's perfect. It's perfect. It's what people want. We just say it the way it is. And I love that you've shared your own personal journey and that you're still going through it, because at the end of the day, it's okay to not be okay.
Yeah. Well, that's a hard thing. We think it's supposed to be easy. We're divorced. We're like, oh, I'm going to start dating and meet people. And we forget that not only do we not know what we're doing, nobody really knows what they're doing. So we're colliding with each other, and we're using apps that didn't exist when we were dating beforehand. It's a complete shit show. So yes, okay to be not okay. I think that's a good message for everybody. I'm going to write that one down as our...
Yes. It's one of my favorite lines to use, because we're so hard on ourselves. And I remember I heard this this line last week, and a lot of people will relate to this, which just like resonated with me, is the inner critic that we all have works full time. That bitch never takes a day off. So let's be more kind and gentle to ourselves and be okay with not always being okay and sit in that. It's fine.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's also a lot easier to give advice. I can tell my friends, oh, break up with her, break up with him. That's one's a keeper. But when you're the one in it, you get all triggered and it's like everything goes out the window. We're like teenagers again. We don't know what we're doing. So Chantal has a new book out. We're going to talk about at the end. We do have a little surprise that we're going to tease out. Chantal, tell us, well, I can say Chantal's new book is Raise Your Love Signal, A Guide to Attracting and Keeping the Love of Your Life.
Yes, because isn't that what we all want or thrive for?
I mean, read the book and it's going to happen. Is that the promise you're going to guarantee?
Yes, I can definitely. Well, here's the promise. If you apply everything I talk about in the book, I can guarantee that you can be and stay in a healthy relationship that thrives. Yes.
What about, I think maybe we need to get like two copies so we can give, once you're dating somebody after a little while, maybe don't give it on a first date, but it helps when the other person is on the same page as well. Do you find that?
Yeah, I totally agree. And I'm happy that you actually brought that up, because there's a few things that I actually talk about in the book that are great tools to start talking about early on in the dating journey. And these are exercises, including reading the book, to make sure you're speaking the same language. It's really important, because it doesn't mean that someone's not as evolved in your journey, in their own personal journey, as you are. But as long as they're open to it, and I always say this is something that people should put on their list when they're looking for someone. It's an important quality to have, is being open to hearing things, being open to learning things, being open to just doing things differently. Because this doesn't limit you to what you think is, right? So being open is something I strongly.
Oop, I lost you there. Can you hear me? You're back. Yeah, yes. And it's something too, if you're on Instagram, you're watching this, you're reading your page, you're reading your podcast, you probably are improving And you might be meeting somebody that has never even, they're like, oh, Instagram? I don't go on there. I never read a book about dating. So I think a lot of times that probably happens in our marriages too, where like one person's like, I'm improving, I'm being my best self, and the other person's stuck in 1994 still.
Love your analogies. Yes. So there's different ways of learning, and being curious and learning will help you in so many ways, not just in relationships. So there's such great tools out there, including, as you said, podcasts, Instagrams, books, and everybody's kind of like learning from different places. And I mean, I look at my own personal journey over the last 20 years because I was a massive personal development junkie, and it came from different places, and you also need different things at different times. Hence why I'm always saying be open to experience things differently. Just because we understand, we could be having this conversation today and we'll re-listen to it in a month or two from now, and maybe you'll understand something that we were talking about from a different point of view, because we're always changing, growing. We weren't who we were yesterday, and we won't be who we will be tomorrow. I'm getting a little philosophical.
No, absolutely. No, a lot of these things click like later on. You're like, oh, 3 months later, that's what they were talking about when they said what a boundary is. I had no idea what that is. And now, when this person is keeps pushing on it, now I'm like, oh, here's what I have to do. So let's not, nobody wants to hear me talk for 20 minutes. So let's hop right into the questions. We got a bunch of questions on Instagram. We're going to share a few for Chantal, the expert, to answer. So, first question we got, how do I know when I'm ready to start dating? I assume this is after divorce. How do I know when I'm ready?
Yeah, that's a great question. I was like, oh, I was so happy to actually that somebody asked that. So thank you for that question. I think that to question that you're ready is probably not being ready. So I think that when we're questioning, it's allowing yourself to, because what is ready when you really think about it? What's the definition of being ready? So again, I'll use the same words over and over again. It's being open, be curious to learning. And you know, one of the things that people don't do when they go out dating is that they have an outcome when they start dating. We're looking for a result. We want to find that person. Is this my person? Versus going into dating with how it should be, having fun, learning to observe yourself to make sure that you've identified all the things you used to do that wasn't working for you, or the mistakes that you've learned from, to pay attention to make sure that you don't repeat these things. Dating is a really great way, especially after divorce, to actually explore to see what matters to you and what you actually want to. Because if you've been in a marriage for a long time and it didn't work out, there's probably things that you've learned that you don't want to repeat going forward. So dating for me is a great way to practice your skills and observe yourself. So I think if we're able to detach from the outcome, which is often what we're doing when we're going into dating, and not see it as such a big deal, but just have more fun. And I remember when I actually applied that to myself 6 years ago, because I always had listen, I was doing this stuff, researching this stuff, reading it, over consuming this stuff, and I was doing the same mistakes where I was like, is he the one? Could this be my person? Like, I was just always looking for that outcome versus going into it having fun. So at one point I said, I want to go on dates as long as I'm having great conversations. There were things that I had made an agreement with myself that were non-negotiables. I wanted good quality conversation, and that I could do an activity that I wanted to do. So I made it to my advantage, and that way, if things didn't work out, it was at least it was a beautiful night. I had fun. I had a great conversation. I didn't feel like I wasted my time. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and especially as single parents, our time is precious. We don't have like, hey, let's go out Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I'm open. It's like you sometimes have one night a week, so you do want to be intentional, but at the same time, not put so much pressure that like, this is my one date a month, this better be the person, because chances are, I used to be a professional poker player, so I'm always weighing the odds. Chances are it's not your person. But to your point, like you're still gonna learn about yourself. And you know, a lot of times it's like, oh, this person's not like my ex at all. I'm all in, but that can be a trap too. So I think you can only do that from dating. We talked about that. Like, you can work on yourself. It's very important. I don't think you're ever going to be ready, but when you start dating, you're going to like learn the hard way a lot of different things.
Yes. And you know, the more you take the time to learn from the situation, in any, whether you're dating, whether you're learning or whatever you're going through, the more self-awareness you develop, the more you know yourself, it's easier to identify quicker what you're looking for, what you want, what you don't want, and actually be able to communicate it. And I love that you brought this up for parents that have kids, because you're limited in time. We need to take ownership and be more intentional, as you said, when you're dating, but learn to screen and filter better before you actually go out on a date. And I think that that's where a lot of people get what I call dating burnout, especially from dating apps. And I'm just taking the time to mention it because there was a dating app question. I'm going a little ahead of the curve here, but learn to screen and filter better, because I see this all the time with clients. They're going on texting for weeks ahead. Like, and then sometimes you start creating these scenarios in your head because you're getting ahead. You're all excited. You know, you're flirting. This is great for the ego. And we haven't even met this person yet. And you're giving all this time. So book a call ASAP, and ideally a video call, so you can pick up on someone's energy. I'm looking at you. I pick up so much on people, and start asking intentional questions that can, you can learn to read in between the lines that it's, you know what, this person is actually worth my time going out of my world and the only night that I have out and time to give. So be more demanding with yourself on how you actually give your time. Screen it a little bit better.
Yeah. What are you picking up here on this video call? If this was a date, you'd be like, this guy is tired. He's exhausted. He's so burnt out from dating and the apps and relationships. But I agree. And it is very awkward to be like, hey, would you mind hopping on a FaceTime? Like, if you get to that point, but you can get to, I think a lot of times you just want to get to a no super fast. So this person might be like the most charismatic texter ever. And then you get on a FaceTime and they're like in their mom's basement and like can't speak a sentence. And you're like, well, I don't think it's a match, but you know, great knowing you. Instead of, to your point, messaging. That was one of our questions.
Yes.
What do I do when they keep messaging for months and months? And it can be exciting and seductive, but it sounds like you're saying get to a call as quick as possible.
Yes, get to a call as quick as possible, because this eliminates, it eliminates your time, it eliminates room for imagination, it eliminates time for disappointment, because as we start building these scenarios in our head, this is where we have an expectation and then we're disappointed. And you know, I would say as well that most people don't think about if you're texting on a daily basis and develop this intensity, it's not necessarily going to be applicable on the long-term basis. So slow it down as well, right? Like, I think when we're over giving, you have to think, can I sustain this in the long run? And most of the time we can't. So that's why it's like, don't over reveal yourself or over give everything from the beginning. The thing I will say though, is that we need to take more ownership on how we're treated on dating apps and actually call people out on their bullshit or how they treat you, including the questions that someone's like, what do you do when someone's messaging you and like keeps going, but does not want to plan a date? Mm-hmm. Call them out on it.
How do you do that?
I'm not here to waste my time, right? It's like, and there's nothing wrong with that. I always say, treat them with kindness, say what you want to say, but be nice. But people need to be called out on their bad behaviors.
Right.
So we need to take ownership of that and not accept it.
Yeah. What's a example, almost like a script you can give somebody where you're having a good conversation, but you do want to get there, the other man or woman is not really getting the hint? Would you say, like, I think a lot of people are like, oh, I'll wait for him to ask me out. And that's what takes a while. Is there something, I mean, I always say just put yourself out there, but is there a way to say it that's, you know, firm, but also polite? Like,
yes.
Let us know. What can we do?
Yeah, I would definitely say I agree with you, Rob. Put yourself out there, especially when it's the first you haven't even met the person yet. I think there's nothing wrong with taking the initiative. So for me, I would say, listen, I'm enjoying getting to chat with you, but I am not I'm not into this long-term texting. I would love to actually plan a call and a date if you're really up to doing so. If you're not, it's fine, but I'm not okay with continuing, you know, the ping pong game, as I love to say.
Right. Yeah. And that kind of leads into our next thing, because I always say, like, chances are if you're divorced, you probably married 5, 10, 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if we had cell phones then. We were not texting. We didn't have dating apps. So all of this is so new. So people, you know, we get comfortable being in group chats where our entire communication, but it's going to be almost impossible and could really take up a lot of your time if you do not go from app to phone call.
Yes, exactly. And that's, you know, when we talk about dating burnout, that's a lot of the process. So just like cut it short. And yeah. I think, especially from our generation, if you've been married for 10, 15 years and didn't get to know the whole dating app thing, you know, you were used to having phone calls. So let's dive into it and not be shy to do it. And, you know, as for dating apps, the one thing that I find they've evolved a lot since I started using them, because I was also from the generation that old school phone calls, when we just started the texting, you had to press like three letters.
Yeah, I like those days.
To introducing the dating apps. And, you know, one of the things that they've also done is add the video call application security. So I think that there's a lot of, because dating apps get so many bad negativity connotations around it, but it's still how one out of every four people meet. It's how I met my amazing man. So I think it's just changing again our relationship and our perspective to it, and it's okay to have on and off days, get off of them, get back on them. But again, it's always like your attitude towards it, you know, detach from the outcome and go into it having fun, which can make a real difference. And then the other question, I know that you said, how else can you meet people?
Yeah.
Other than dating apps. So there's a lot of great way to meet people, but here's the thing. Again, we need to take a little bit more ownership, is that we're so caught up in our own world, on our phones. You can literally hold your head high and stand in a coffee shop and start having a conversation with someone that's in front of you. And it's not about meeting the person that's in front of you. You might meet the person that's in front of you that ends up becoming a friend that has a brother or a cousin that's single that could introduce you to. So I just invite people to be a little bit more open with the outdoors, meaning like environment, and never dismiss the possibility of meeting anyone anywhere at any given time. And again, not making it about the outcome, making it more about the connection
right. That
could lead you to another.
Yeah, that's a good call. Especially after divorce, there's isolation and loneliness. You need to meet other divorced people. Your married friends are probably not going out with you when you want to go out, yeah. Especially for men.
Yes.
So yeah, you can make friends. The friends could have friends, or, you know, or it could be a match. But I like what you're saying, like, go into it with a more open-minded thing. Like, almost, I don't even think this is going to turn into something.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's see. We do put a lot of pressure on ourselves, because I think the longer you're in it, the more you're like, I put so much work into this. I either want to quit or this needs to be the one. And that actually sets you back. So yeah. I don't know where those places are that you say, the grocery, or people like coming up to people at the grocery store, or
groceries, coffees. And you know what's the best place to meet people? It's in anywhere that there's a bar. Sit at the bar and start talking to the people that are sitting at the bar. I was actually having brunch last Sunday with my boyfriend, and this guy, good looking guy, sits beside me, and I hear he has an accent. So I'm like, where are you from? We start talking. The guy had just moved to Toronto from Ireland. And I'm like, wow, are you married?
Your boyfriend's like, see ya.
So what I'm saying is that you can just start, you never know who you can meet. So the bars, whether it's like in a restaurant or, you know, at a cafe, are a really great place where there's create interactions, because, you know, it's right. like, so I love the bars. I'm single or not, I'm always talking and meeting a bunch of people at the bars. So I think it's like a great thing. Farmers markets, even another place that I love to meet people is hotel bars. Like, because there's a lot of people that are coming in and out. There's conferences happening. There's people that are from out of town. So there's just a lot of different energies going on that it makes it easier to maybe say, hi, or where are you from? Or what are you doing here kind of thing.
Right. Less pressure at a bar. You're facing forward. You're not like looking at each other. And I mean, I think this is a thing too. A lot of people, not everybody drinks, but you can have a sparkling water at the bar. You can order dinner, put your listen to a podcast, you know, like just be, put yourself out there and maybe get used to being around people by yourself for the first time, which is terrifying for a lot of people after divorce.
Yes, yes. And Rob, I don't know if you're a big traveler, but I find that a lot of people, when we travel, we're in a very different space than when we're in our own city. I used to be that person. I would talk to the anyone and everyone because I'm on vacation. I'm more relaxed. But then I started saying, why don't I apply that attitude in my own city when I was single? And I actually tried it, and it made such a massive difference on, again, because I was head down, just like, you know, in my own world. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to test this, being on vacation in my own city. And it really made a massive difference on who I could meet and attract.
Yeah, you can almost like adopt a role. It'd be like, today I'm Chantal, but I'm not even from here. And, you know, have fun with it and get out of your comfort zone. Good idea. Well, I think we kind of covered, we had another question about looking for perfection, but I think a lot of that is, you know, lowering your expectations and meeting people, because I think that's something too. It's like, we want this person to fit, check all the boxes. And when they don't, are you like, you're out? Or, you know, that's a tricky thing too.
Well, what I want to say about that is that, again, what is perfect to you? And nobody's perfect. And one of the things that I talk about in the book is to make sure, and especially if you're starting to date and you're not really sure what you're looking for yet, because you're like, I've been burned, I had a bad experience, or maybe you both just decided it was time to move on and live your separate lives. But it's get clear on what really matters to you, because when we're looking for someone, we often make it about the partner, and hence very superficial things. I want him to be 6'2". I want her to, you know, be blonde and skinny. I want him to cook. I want her to dance. I want him to be financially well off. So we don't really take the time to think about, how do I want to grow and evolve in a relationship? And how do I want someone to show up for me if I grow with this person? So what I'm trying to say is that we need to detach from a lot of the superficial things that we think we want, and kind of have a long-term plan of like, more, how do I want to be treated when I'll be going through financial crisis, or I lose my job, or I lose my parent? How do I want someone, what's his communication style that I wanted to have, and how we can deal with conflict together? How are they available emotionally with me if I'm like super emotionally available? So I don't think people take the time to ask themselves the right questions, because that takes away from the element of perfection, or making sure that you're actually getting what really matters to you. So I remember because I had done my list and done all these exercises that I'm talking about, and the one thing that I did want, not need, was someone that knew how to dance. And it was almost a deal breaker for me, because I love dancing so much. And I'm saying this because it's a superficial thing, so people can relate. Of course, when I meet my boyfriend, one of the first questions I asked him is like, do you dance? And he was like, I'm kind of known to have like two left feet. And I'm like, in my head, oh my God, you're not kidding me. And then I said, well, do you have a little rhythm? And he's like, what do you mean? And he's like, well, can you roll a shoulder roll or something? And he's like, no, this is my dance move. And I remember thinking, I was like, oh my God, I can't be with this person. But because I had done the exercise and done like the value system of what really mattered to me, I realized that, you know what, this is not a need, it's a want, but it's not what's going to make my relationship in the long term run. What was more was that, you know, he accepted me and he supports me. He actually, and still today, you want to go dancing with the girls, you know, go dancing with the girls, no problem. We're at a wedding. I'm like, okay, I need one dance. He's like, let me have 4 shots of tequila and I'll give you one dance. So for me, it was more important someone that would support and accept me through my things. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
For thought.
And it's interesting. A lot of the important things you can, it's harder to tell in the beginning, because in the beginning it is looks, charisma, can they dance? But then that might not be the person that you want to be in a relationship with. So it's a tricky thing. I always say, like, dating in the beginning and apps are almost like a different, like, then you go PhD level when you don't want to go relationship. So there are different skills. And I think you got, like you said before, be patient, be kind to yourself. We had a bunch of people chiming in, but Justine asked which book are you referring to? So perfect segue. You can tell us a little bit about your book, and we're going to do a giveaway. So check out our next post. We'll post for the WTF divorce book, a perfect little journal to, vent and get all your feelings out. And then when you're ready for the love book, Chantal's got you.
And I love it. Rob created, by the way, I think it's such a great tool, because the best way to kind of walk through the journey is a lot of the prompts and the exercises that is due. It's like to kind of like write it down. And again, that's the whole self-awareness piece, because the more you work on yourself and get to know why you react and are triggered or sad, it's the more you're familiar with it, when you do meet people, it's much easier to communicate it, because people don't know you. They don't know your baggage. So for us to assume that people should know how we think or how we feel or what we want without expressing it is crazy. So please, please make sure that you get to know yourself. Give yourself that gift of self-awareness, because that will completely transform all of the relationships that you have. Because I'm seeing here, sorry, Rob, I'm having like a... One of the comments was like, divorce process, started dating by using a dating app and realized that I was being too honest from the start. It could be scary for men. Well, they're not the guys for you. It's just as simple as that. Do not be afraid to stick to your truth and what you actually want, and be honest, because what's wrong with that? So I just wanted to answer
I'll push back a little on that one. I think sometimes we're all guilty of, in the beginning, oversharing. Maybe it's like, oh, my ex was this, or I'm ready, you know? So I think there's some nuance. And look, the only way you can do it is by like walking into a wall and being like, we've all had that feeling like, oh, I said too much. And that you can learn from. And then on the next day, you're going to be like, I'm going to talk some, but not too much. I'm going to ask questions. I'm going to listen. So I think the only way you can...
Key word, you're going to listen, because oversharing is not the same thing as being truthful of what you're looking for. Sorry, I wanted to specify that, but I love what you said. Listen. People do not take the time to listen or be curious about the other person. Ask questions, be curious, and listen to what the person is saying. So yes, I love it.
You're going to learn a lot more by listening than you are by talking. So pick up Chantal's book, WTF Divorce. I'm sure it's backwards. Somebody said, I don't even know how to fix that, but upside down. Amazon, just hit the button, but we're going to do a giveaway for the book. So if you don't win, go check it out. And Chantal, thank you so much for coming on today.
Oh my God, I'm so happy. Thank you for the opportunity. You have such a great community. I love what you do. I'm a huge fan, as you know. So I'm very, very grateful that we got to do this today.
Thank you. It is a little bit more fun to talk about this stuff than like toxic narcissist exes. Every now and then we need some levity. We need to talk about the fun stuff. So hopefully you get through the hard part, and then we get to the good part and, you know, have fun with it. So thank you, Chantal. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in today. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, everyone. Have a good afternoon.
Bye.
The WTF Divorce Podcast is sponsored by Our Family Wizard. If you're a co-parent, you know how frustrating it can be constantly going back and forth with your ex about the kids, schedules, and expenses. Our Family Wizard helps keep everything organized in one app, making co-parenting communication less stressful. Here's Maddie to explain how Our Family Wizard changed her co-parenting life.
Before Our Family Wizard, my co-parent and I were constantly arguing. We disagreed on the cost of our kids' activities. We would fight over whose turn it was to pick up our daughter from school. We had absolutely no boundaries. Our Family Wizard has not only improved communication between us, but it has also saved my sanity. We use the shared calendars, expense tracking, and secure messaging on a daily basis. The ability to coordinate and share important information, plus manage expenses, has stopped the confusion and the fighting. This allowed us to put all our focus back on just enjoying the quality time we have with our kids.
Join more than 1 million parents and family law professionals who trust Our Family Wizard. Go to www.ourfamilywizard.com/WTF and get free co-parenting tips and insights from family law and mental health experts. That's www.ourfamilywizard.com/WTF to get started today.